Let us pledge to each other, with this great lady looking on, that we can, and so help us God, we will make America great again.
And we will make America great again!
All right, this is a special Thanksgiving week podcast where we're going to cover a few of the events going on in the last couple of weeks especially, and if nothing else, kind of dispel some of the anxiety that it's been going on with folks who are concerned that not enough is taking place, not enough things are happening in a positive direction, and I want to clean that up and give you something to be able to go into Thanksgiving and say, okay, we really are making progress. I have not been on here nearly as often, obviously, as we had been. And part of that has been a revamping of our format. Here we are with a podcast rather than live programs. And the most recent one prior to this was with a group of high school students. If you haven't checked that one out, you need to check that one out about their impression of some of the major concerns going on as Americans with their generation coming up as the next group of adults. And so you see that we're kind of progressing into a new area. I'm not going to say Q has slowed down or disappeared, because that's not the case really. What's happening is we're in a transition period. We are effectively into an area of Q that is being referred to as Phase 3. And this is where the activities themselves actually are happening. Now, it doesn't feel like it on the outside, but I'm going to explain in this episode how it is actually happening. Because I hear from a lot of people, well, nothing's going on. We're not getting anywhere. Why are we not seeing arrests? Why are we not seeing progress in these different areas? Why is this not happening? And so forth. And all I can do is say, calm down. It is happening. We are in this process. And don't listen to those folks that are falling off to the edges and going, well, this is all a lark. Okay? It's not. It's real. The events really are happening. And I'll explain where some of that comes from. Now, let me give you an example right off the bat from just the Trump administration. General news, including Fox News, I'm going to throw that out there, they are not what they used to be. And you cannot rely on them the way you used to rely on them. There are individuals there you still can rely on. I still highly trust Sean Hannity. I trust Tucker Carlson. And you notice those are the two that have been the most targeted with issues. They're the ones being attacked at their homes and outside of their programs. That's a sign, okay? They're clearly messing up the works, and so they're being targeted. So those two I definitely trust. Now, along the lines with that, you get Sarah Carter, who is clearly a trusted sidekick of Sean Hannity. We know that Hannity has, at least in the past, had a regular kind of check-in conversation with President Trump. And so that's a safe zone. Okay, you can trust those three people particularly. Now, there are others that I think are playing the game the way that they need to play the game. I don't know where they are 100%, but the network itself, you can't trust the generalities. There are more people there that are like the midday hosts of Fox then there are people that are like the primetime hosts, if that makes sense to those who watch it on a regular basis or see it throughout the day. you're going to get a whole lot more of I don't want to call it a mock conservative, but your left-leaning centrists. I think that's the best that I can do with that. You're going to get a whole lot more of that. You're going to get more of your Shepard Smiths going forward. For a while, at least, with Fox. Okay, we do know that Disney wants them, will buy them, so forth. And because of that, everything that Disney has touched does not turn to gold. Instead, it turns to liberal. And you can see that throughout their entire history. And the same thing's happening with Fox. They are building themselves to be a Disney channel. So just keep that in mind. Now, saying that, I believe that what's going to happen is you're going to end up seeing people like Tucker and Sean and Sarah and a few of the others. You're going to see them move to, yes, another network. You're going to see them move into another direction somewhere away from Fox eventually. That's my own prediction. But I know there are others that believe the same thing. So, having said that, you cannot pay attention to all the news going on, even with Fox, because they're not covering everything equally either. Okay, and you may have noticed that during the rallies. They weren't covering the rallies appropriately. But there's two sides to that. From an economic side, Fox has to have advertisers. And if you're running rallies literally every night, it seemed, for a while there, that are an hour and a half long, that's an hour and a half you don't get advertising dollars. Advertisers aren't happy with stations that cannot run their commercials. And so from the financial stand, you have to understand where Fox is coming from. Now, them telling you if anything important will break into this, that kind of stance is the same thing that we were hearing from MSNBC that Fox used to make fun of with regards to, we're going to tell you what you need to know. And so that kind of conversation tells you the direction of Fox is going in. Okay. Again, having said that, you have to stay away from focusing on the mainstream, including Fox, for most of your news. And that's why you're not hearing a lot of what we're going to talk about in this podcast. You hear some of it, not most of it. For instance, you probably didn't hear that recently video has surfaced showing that at least a portion of the DMZ between North and South Korea has been removed. Blown up, actually. Now, this implies, and for those that aren't military savvy, DMZ means the demilitarized zone. It's like a neutral zone between two previously fighting countries or zones, okay? The DMZ has had an armed guard facility, okay? The Korean version of the Berlin Wall between its northern and southern regions. And I guess going back a little bit, you have to understand there aren't two separate countries, North and South Korea. It's one country divided. Okay. And the DMZ has been that dividing point. Well, again, video has surfaced of some of that being destroyed, literally destroyed. And so that implies that we may be seeing a Korea in the future that is not a North or South Korea, but it is just Korea. That is major. That is history-altering moment. You're not hearing about it. Now, it's early yet to say for certain what all that means, but it's possible. So there's part of that. So there is activity there. okay? There is, despite what you may be hearing about, well, you know, they're still building. We don't know what they are and are not doing. Some of what you're seeing may be that type of activity. The breaking down of some of the barriers, removing of some of the items that have been there in the past. Okay, so there's that. Then there is the Square One murders, and I call them that. That's my term for them because, and what you've heard is about the New Jersey mansion or homes in which arson has been put into place. Two connecting relative homes near each other in New Jersey. One of them catches fire. They go to the scene. They find a body outside of the house, shot. Three more bodies inside the house, burnt up. And the house on fire. The initial reaction to that is, okay, something, it's arson, something else has happened. This was a hit of some kind. It was two adults, two children, okay? Parents and children. Then we connect in that near there was another home that caught on fire, and they were related to the people in the first home. You dig a little deeper, and what you find is the two relatives cooperated a company called Square One. Large company for securities, surveillance, IT-related materials. And we find out that the father figure of the second home killed the family in the first home, then sets his own home on fire as well. So he is guilty of killing and causing arson in two locations. There is most likely something deeper involved in this than somebody who was just not happy because of the nature of the business that they had. It's early yet, but my personal feelings is the deeper you dig into Square One, the more we're going to find a reason why this suicide event took place, murder-suicide event took place. Again, you're not hearing about this on the news because there's so many other things going on. But watch, that will occur. Now, also going on in the middle of all this, you have a judge that has overturned, or rather sided with, a doctor accused of FGM, female genital mutilation, of his patients. And this is in, and I want to make sure that I'm correct in this, I believe this is in Michigan. This is causing an uproar with conservatives, and rightfully so. Because the judge was creating an environment, I mean, the judge has created an environment of kickback from this. Because the judge has said that it is within the religious rights of the doctor and his patients to perform female genital mutilation. And for those of you that do not understand what that is, you want to look that up more than me to describe that in this podcast. But it is exactly what it sounds like it is. Picture male circumcision, but performed on older girls without a whole lot of sympathy. And I think I'm being gentle here. They're not. It's brutal. And it's done for a very different reason than what circumcision has been done in the past and still is currently done in hospitals and elsewhere around the planet. And there's arguments for and against that. And I get that. But there's a huge difference between a surgical procedure done in infancy with proper medical care, and some say for the purposes either of religion or of sterility, cleanliness. And there are arguments on both sides, and I know though that about this issue. Where it becomes icky is the FGM is done against the consent of the individual at an older age, especially. It is messy, it is violent, and it is done for the purposes of removing sexual stimulus. Okay, not the reason circumcision has been performed over the centuries. It is specifically a religious event intending to desexualize the females. Okay, because as we know, for some reason, there's this cultural belief within Islam that women shouldn't enjoy life, basically. In any way, they don't have the freedoms to drive. They don't have the freedoms to live out on their own. They don't have the freedom to be uncovered. They don't have the freedom to have sexual feeling. And that it's the woman's fault if a man lusts, and so forth. It's a very misogynistic culture. And this is a part of that. And they very brutally mutilate the woman, the girl, in an attempt to correct them from being lustful creatures. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. And I know if you go on the outside ends of this, you go, well, it's a religious event like other things are. Where do you draw the line? Well, this is one of those arguments. And the judge ruling with the doctor... Oh, and by the way, it's... I don't know if cases of circumcision leading to deaths, although FGM definitely has had many cases of the girls, the women, dying from the procedure, literally bleeding to death from the procedure, and making them incapable of performing day-to-day routine items. So it's just, but it's another example of what's happening in Michigan and Massachusetts and some of these areas where Islam is beginning to take a strong hold. Just like we have two Islamic politicians, you know, and it's beginning to build. And as a result of that, they're changing a 181-year ruling about head covering within the congressional chamber to accommodate a couple of Muslims that have been added to Congress, which is interesting. On the whole, because in order to make, there's just so many areas in there. They do not have to be sworn in on a Bible. Okay? That is not in the Constitution that they have to be sworn in on a Bible. And so being sworn in on a Quran is not unconstitutional. It's not. And in as much as you may not want to hear that, it's true. But what happens, it's not the swearing in of this, it's the changing of the rules system. It's things like this FGM. Let's change the structure of what's allowed medically to occur so that it fits within the structure of Islam. let's change the congressional dress code to fit within the structure of Islam, etc. If they are not required to follow, if we change the ruling from constitutional-based law to items that fall under Sharia law, that's where we're having a problem. That's where we have a major issue. Worship any way you want to worship, or don't worship. But we should not change our laws from the U.S. Constitution to another system's law to accommodate you. That's where we've got a problem. Sharia law is in conflict with the U.S. Constitution. And there's a whole other program that can be had about rulings that have been made that clearly define who can and cannot politically hold office within the United States based off of the laws they follow. And I think we've stepped over that bound, but that's for a whole other podcast. But this is where we are. We're allowing that step in there. And this is deep into the steps necessary for them to infiltrate and take over a group, a society. Now, are they ready to take over the entire United States? No. Actually, I believe 2 years ago, we were much closer to having China take control of the U.S. than we are Islam. And it's not that I'm not concerned about Islam. I am. But they were not the most immediate threat. They are a threat now. They are a threat, but they were not the most immediate threat 2 years ago. It was China. Again, another issue for another time, another podcast. We need to dedicate completely to that. And that's coming up because we're approaching January. And approaching January means approaching tribunals. New rules, new guidelines come January, and as a result of that, you're going to see a shift in procedures. And so that's a conversation for soon, okay? But not today. Now, so far you're thinking, okay, none of this is the stuff that I was talking about. None of this are the issues you want to hear about, okay? So let's get to some of the ones you do want to hear about. For instance, we were told we should be seeing arrests. Right? We should be seeing arrests. Where are these court dates? Where are these arrests? Why are we not seeing orange suits? And so forth. Okay. You have to pay attention to the individual things that are taking place within social media, especially. For those that have not clued in yet, there is a pattern to which Trump projects his messages through his tweets. And people have argued for 3 years now over should he tweet, shouldn't he tweet. And they digest the wrong content from his tweets. They get so caught up in the verbiage itself that they don't think about what he's really trying to accomplish because they don't know. They don't know what the ruling is behind it. And to give you one example of that, and I'm going to come back to this a little later, but let me give you a quick example of this. Yesterday, there were a series of tweets that Trump sent out that were connected with each other. In other words, they were a train of thought. But the time frame in which he released these series of tweets were not back-to-back. Okay, they were not, as we would normally do, they were not sent out within minutes of each other, or seconds of each other, rather, completing a thought. And when you're going back and you're looking at them, you read them as a whole, and there it is. He has a method. And he doesn't do it with every single tweet. But there are patterns, and yesterday he had one. he tweets out. Okay. And then, ironically enough, 18 minutes after he sends out the first tweet, he sends a second tweet, which again is connected with the one prior. Then he waits an entire 22 minutes after that tweet to send the next chunk. And then again waits 11 minutes until he sends out the final message. They're all connected. They're all grouped together. But there's a message being sent outside of the messages that are tweeted just in the time frame. 18-minute separation, followed by a 22-minute separation, followed by an 11-minute separation. Okay? That's 18, 22, 11, or 11, 22, 18. That's Thanksgiving. That's today. Now, there are people who go, oh, well, okay, big deal. He was having some fun. No. 11, 22, 18 is also an anniversary date. It's the 55th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. The father of an incredibly close friend of our president, John Jr., John. Now, there are many who, and the percentages of belief have risen, and there are a growing number of people who believe that John Jr. and his wife, and we assume his sister-in-law, are still alive. And don't go crazy with this, but the 55th anniversary of presidential assassination, and for those that follow Q, the 5-5 has a great deal of weight within the Q post. There's a great weight to those messages being sent out yesterday. And the last of those tweets that culminated this 11-22-18 signal had, in all caps, the word criminals. And you have to pay attention to Trump's capitals. Capital letters, capital words, etc. If it's a capital letter, it's symbolizing something else. Obviously, if it's a capital word, it means something even different. And I'll give you an example of that, because at, 6:23, I believe, Eastern Time yesterday, Trump also tweeted out this tweet. Brutal and extended cold blast could shatter all records. Whatever happened to global warming? Now, in and of itself, people have been retweeting that, laughing at him, joking about global warming. Completely ignoring the fact that within that tweet, he had, in all caps, all records. So let me reread that and think of it outside of the context in which it's being read. Brutal and extended cold blast could shatter all records. Trump was sending out a message via the Q community, who are clearly educated on the way that he communicates, all records. All will be revealed soon. There will be a brutal and extended blast of information soon. All records. Now, signaling that as well, let's look at the condition of our border and the double meanings behind the things associated with that. People are getting all caught up in the border. Are they coming over? Are they not coming over? Are we letting people in? Are we not letting people in? Judge saying no, slap, slap, slap on the wrist. You can't designate people to certain places to enter into the country for asylum. They must be allowed to come over in any way whatsoever. If they set their foot over the line, they are allowed sanctuary and so forth. Let's completely forget about the fact that the judge, John Tagar, or Tagar, is a Ninth Circuit judge, which Trump has clearly indicated is that's the rallying post. That's the safe space for liberals to run when they want to defeat something conservative. Let's go to the Ninth Circuit. John Tagar, good old chum, also with one of the FISA judges, and that's another issue for another episode as well, goes and overrules there in San Francisco, overrules this ruling, which, by the way, the Department of Homeland Security has already indicated we're going to ignore the judge's ruling because border security is national security and we are not going to not perform within our national security needs because a judge says people can't come over. People coming into the country illegally in any capacity is a border issue, but it is also a national security issue, and we will continue to deal with national security issues the way that we have. So the judge can make comments till he's blue in the face, and ironic, until he's very liberally blue in the face, and it won't matter. Because we cannot shut down borders, and we cannot but shut down our national security just because a judge doesn't like why we're doing what we're doing. Okay. The Constitution clearly indicates that we are to protect our citizens and that we are to protect our property. And you cannot, no judge can say that it's not constitutional to protect the security of the citizens of this country. And you cannot just let people nilly-willy come into the country, regardless of their reasoning, in masses especially, and claim that you're still keeping the nation secure. Okay, now I'm not saying that there aren't people that legitimately need to escape from things within their own homeland. However, sanctuary is not based on you come from wherever on the planet and you get to come to the United States automatically. Sanctuary is based off of you come to the next neighboring country that is not hostile to you personally and seek asylum. It is not I get to go 1,200 miles to another country to seek asylum. It doesn't work that way. You need to go from your hostile environment to then the non-hostile environment. The next available non-hostile environment. Okay. Now, if these people got on a plane in their hostile environment and flew into the United States, different issue. Okay. They would have been entering into the U.S. in an attempt straight into the U.S. They would have done that, but they would not have been traveling through one or more countries on foot or on truck or on whatever flatbed to get there. That's not asylum because they are not at the same risk through that entire journey as they were in from the country that they were leaving. Okay, so that's one issue. Another issue in this is they've been offered asylum along the journey and have refused it. And then you add on top of that the fact, okay, that they are not under privilege. You cannot travel 1,200 miles and claim you have nothing. I'm sorry, you do not make a 1,200-mile journey without assistance. I mean, folks, come on. You get this, right? You cannot... They have been helped from the beginning. You can't make that kind of a journey with nothing. Some of these people, you're seeing them traveling down the road and they have nothing. They don't have anything to lay their heads down. They don't have a change of clothes. They don't have backpacks. But they have smartphones. They have American products for clothing. Oh, and you add on top of that, once they actually get to the border, they're reaching through with their cell phones, taking selfies or taking pictures of us on this end with their expensive phones. And they're flipping us off. Those are the folks. Do they act like they're at risk, that they're being tortured in some way, that they desperately need to come into the U.S.? Do they give that image? No. When was the last time you saw an image of a woman and her children at the wall? You hear it from all these people, but when was the last time you actually saw it? No, you're seeing young men. Again, the same issue you were seeing in Europe. An influx of young military-aged men. Now, I'm not saying there aren't women and children involved. There are, but they're going to the ports of entry. When the argument's being made, well, it takes too long. It could be weeks, it could be months before they get the ability to cross over. Okay, you're right. But if they come in through the non-port of entries and are captured, detained, and I'll come back to that in a minute, and then processed and let out, it's still months before they're processed through. So that would be like saying, I know that there's a law that you must stop at the signal light, but it's taking too long, and I really need to get somewhere. So I'm going to go ahead and go through the red light anyway. Now, the liberals are saying, well, but in an emergency situation, you've got to. These people are not in that kind of an emergency. They've traveled for weeks to do this. They are not in that urgent of a panic situation. They are not about to bleed to death. About to deliver a child. Well, some may be. But you don't have to come 1,200 miles to deliver a child. Right? Those are really the only two situations where running a red light seems appropriate. Somebody is literally in a medical need. That's pretty much it. You can't say I ran the red light because I'm late for work or because I'm going to miss the beginning of the movie or it's just inconvenient for me to wait. The court's still going to say, yeah, you still ran the red light. You still broke the law. And another example of that would be, I know that we have streets, but I can get there a whole lot quicker if I just go across all of these yards. And a judge saying, yeah, you're right. It doesn't really matter how you get there as long as you get there. No, we have streets for a reason. We have rules for a reason. The only places I know of where people just drive in whatever fashion they want to, anywhere they want to, randomly across areas, are third world countries. And we look at that on video and go, this is crazy, this is nuts. The same logically thinking people are looking at these folks coming in or attempting to come in at the border and go, this is nuts. And to tell them, no, you don't have to follow the roads, you don't have to follow the laws, you just come over anywhere you want to because the end result is just getting here. It's not safe to them, it's not safe to the people whom they're coming in contact with, it's not, and it's on top of that, it's not legal. So no, none of this is going to hold up, and that's why the Department of Homeland Security is going, we're going to ignore this judge. National security is our importance here, and we're going to continue to maintain that. So forget about this ruling. That's, no, it's not going to override anything. And Homeland Security is going, fine, sue us. But we're not going to back down. Now, Secretary Nielsen has specifically said that we're going to continue to defend our borders and, I quote, unlawful entry into the U.S. at or between our ports of entry, unquote, will not be permitted. So there's that. Now, I promised I would get back to the detain. And here's where this is. We've been hearing for a long time, for years now, the term of catch and release. And this idea that we catch people that cross the border and we release them back into the U.S. with an understanding that they are supposed to, with a, you know, a pinky swear, that they're going to show back up months later for a court date to determine whether they can be here legally. And the vast majority, surprise, don't come back. They just escape into the millions that are here. Okay, it's been called catch and release. President Trump, at the rallies, referred to catch and release, catch and release, catch and release. And then he began to shift his terms. And he began to talk about how we've always used catch and release. Now we're using catch and detain. And his reference to that in the public has been, we catch them, we keep them. We don't release them into the wild, okay, so to speak. If you cross our border illegally, we catch you, we keep you. But not keep you in the liberal sense of, you're warmly accepted in. It's, we're going to keep you, we're going to keep your families together, but we're going to keep you until we can clarify whether you are properly vetted to enter the U.S. If not, then you're going back to where you came from. Plain and simple. If it takes months, then it takes months. But at least we're going to keep track of you. So to the public, he's referring to changing that as far as immigration is concerned. There's a double meaning. Like everything else that Trump does, there's more than one meaning to this. We have gone from catch and release to catch and detain, and he is not referring to the border at this point. He is referring to those folks that many of us, for the last year plus, have been anticipating seeing in orange suits, seeing issues. There are people that go back to the very beginning, the very first day of Q's post, that referred to Hillary Clinton indicted. And they go, well, it didn't happen. Q isn't right. The Q's not accurate. Hillary wasn't indicted. This never happened. Here's the deal. Yes, she was. As were a number of others. Catch and release in this case is not referring to the border. It is referring to those people that are being or have been indicted. He has been sending us the message that in the past they have caught these people in these acts and they have released them back into the wild. They have tagged them and released them back into society, and they continue to do the things that publicly we see them as doing as normal. However, we know we've seen a series of boots in the course of the last year or two from a number of figures. We saw it on McCain. We've seen it on basically two of the Clintons, okay, both the women. We've seen it on other figures as well. And we understand what the boots are for. Okay, the boots are covering up an ankle bracelet, a GPS monitor. Okay, now, knowing that, that was the catch and release method of handling all of this. Yes, Hillary was indicted in October of 17. I believe that as much as I'm sitting here breathing right now. And I believe others have been too. But they were released back into public access, released back into the public domain so that it was kept quiet. Okay, we've tagged you, and you're out there with everybody else. And you're going to continue to pretend that life is what life has been. Okay? However, we have shifted. Late summer, we began to shift that process into catch and detain. And that's where you start noticing people that you don't notice anymore. People that you can't find. And this is my personal theory, okay? And there are others that follow in line with this. Think about the people you don't see. The big figures that you do not see in the light. You don't see George Soros. You hear his name being mentioned, but when was the last time you actually saw live footage of him somewhere? You do not see the Podestas. John or Tony. There are several figures. And begin to look at this. Think of these folks that you want to see locked up. That are on your list. You know, your top 10 of the people you most want to see in an orange suit. And ask yourself, when was the last time you saw these people in a public setting? Trump has been telling us that we have shifted from the catch and release to the catch and detain. Detain meaning they are being held. They are not in the public life. And they're awaiting trial / sentencing. Now, you can look this up as well, and this is probably for another time as well. There is a ruling, there is an order that indicates that you can be detained indefinitely as a U.S. citizen if you are implicated within, in multiple fashions, in any way with terrorism. We already know that with human abuses, funds can be seized, accounts can be frozen, so forth. But we also know that if you can be detained without limit and without formal charge even as a U.S. citizen, and it's still constitutional, if you are implicated in any fashion with terrorism. And in most cases, this takes us back to the 9/11 days. And there's a lot of lines of timelines of things that fall into all of this that cover these folks. This, in my opinion, is what's happened. We're at a point now where these people are being detained, and they're being detained in connections with, if nothing else, terrorism, and their day is coming. Now, why is their day still coming instead of already having happened? I think a lot of that has to do with January. Come January, the rulings for tribunals and so forth change. And I believe that that's what we're waiting for. So with the new year comes a new process. Unfortunately, some of these people you will never hear about. I'm sorry. You just won't hear from them again. I don't think you get an overwhelming amount of people that are suddenly going to be coming down with forms of cancer and dying. I think some will. But you're also going to start seeing more suicides, strange deaths, or people who have retired from society and so forth. I think that's how you're going to see a lot of it. Now, an encouraging moment, okay, if you need to see something actually, you know, some grittiness actually happen, I think what you're going to begin to see the format of that in is coming up with December 5th. We know that D5, top level tsunami level warning, D5, is also December 5th. We know that the House GOP is holding a hearing into the Department of Justice probe of the Clinton Foundation. And we know that John Huber is going to be testifying. He or a representative of him is to be testifying to reveal findings. And that they have declared that it is going to be a public hearing. So we are going to get to see what Huber has, at least a portion of it, in regards to the Clinton Foundation on December 5th, which, by the way, also is the 60th birthday of Michael Flynn. December 5th is also the same day that Trey Gowdy has jumped in and has beat the Democrats to the point with the Ivanka Trump email issue. And he has set December 5th as the deadline for information on Ivanka's emails. So he's going to be examining that. They're all going to culminate, folks. They're going to overlap with each other. We've already started seeing things regarding the Clinton Foundation. Internationally, news is beginning to say, we think the Clintons may actually be caught this time in their scandals, and that it's going to be the Clinton Foundation that will be their undoing. That it's finally going to happen. These are international reporters making these claims now, that it looks like it's actually going to happen. So the whole world will be tuning into this. And we've been told that through Q as well. The whole world is watching. December 5th is the starting point for this. It is the starting point. And I know you've been hearing some of this stuff for a while, and you have trouble believing some of it, but it's real. Now, there have been blackouts, brownouts, shutdowns, issues that have happened with Facebook, with Twitter, with Comcast, and so forth. All these different, you know, entities, social media and television. And there's all kinds of theories wrapped around that as well. And what's going to happen to that for certain, who knows. We do know that even in a media blackout, television's down, social media's down, we know that there is one particular way in which information can still be gotten to us, and that is the Presidential Emergency Alert System, which was tested a few months ago. Which, by the way, let me say that again. Presidential Emergency Alert System. PEAS. Yeah. Trump named the two turkeys that were being pardoned this week peas and carrots. The one that won was peas. Presidential Emergency Alert System. Oh, well, but that's just a coincidence. Well, okay. Carrots is a Gitmo term for the detainees. Yeah. So they refer to it as the garden down there, and they have the carrots. Well, what do they call them? Carrots. Well, think about it. Orange suits. So the joke down there is that these are the carrots in the garden. Peas and carrots were our turkeys this year. The peas were pardoned. The turkeys, the carrots were the alternate. It's all right in your face, folks. It's right there. And it's not hard to imagine. It's not fake. It's real. It is happening. The events are occurring. They're just not being broadcast like some kind of a TV program. Don't give up faith. Don't give up hope in all of this. It's real. There are no coincidences. Right? I mean, it's all really there in front of you. You just have to be aware of it, and you have to be willing to be faithful enough to what you've studied, to what you see, to what you feel, and patient. I'm not going to say I don't have moments where I've wondered. We all have. But that's in anything in life. I have faith in God. And I have many folks that I research with, that I communicate with back and forth through social media. And there's a number of these folks that I've added recently into my list in the beds of my Instagram posts and so forth. I have a strong affiliation of faith with these folks as well. I have faith in our president as well. I have faith in our God that he has put us in this situation at this time with the leadership that we have, and I trust him. And because I trust God, I trust Trump, and I trust what I'm seeing. There's a reason for all of this. And I believe that we are stepping in the right direction. It is difficult. We are fighting evil. And I'm not talking about it politically. I'm talking about from a much deeper realm. We are fighting evil. We are fighting pedophiles. We are fighting human traffickers. We are fighting... Dare I say it? Cannibals. The deepest deep of occultic things. Yeah, we're on the right side. And I've read the end of the book. I know we win. If you're not familiar with that, maybe you need to pick it up over Thanksgiving and read it yourself. Don't take my word for it, which is another thing Q has reminded us of. Do your own research. Be faithful. It's happening. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving. And know that you're being watched over by a merciful and all-powerful God. God bless you.